The war that didn't end. As the old Imperial Order collapsed, fighting continued around the world. By Jay Winter. There is a conventional story we all learned at school. Here it is in a nutshell. World War I ended at 11 a.m. on the 11th day of the 11th month of 1918. 6 hours earlier, a German delegation signed to the armistice in a train car near Compiègne, 80 miles from Paris. The guns fell silent at 11 a.m. precisely. The troops came home. The interwar years began. 21 years later, interwar turned into wartime, which in its turn ended with a bang after atomic bombs were dropped on Hiroshima and Nagasaki in 1945. War, peace, war. If only history were as neat as that, or that it approximated the clean break with violence captured by a U.S. Signal Corps seismograph, showing the sound of artillery until 11 a.m. on November 11th, and the unbroken line of silence thereafter. If this had been an electrocardiograph of war, we would conclude justly that the First World War died precisely then. History is messier than that. War didn't die, and violence didn't stop. The war on the Western Front between Germany and the combined forces of Britain, France, the United States, and others was over, but everywhere else, fighting continued in many different forms. International war bled into civil war, indistinguishable from revolutionary and counter-revolutionary conflicts. New nations fought against old nations and against other nations. Poland fought Bolshevik Russia, and both fought Ukrainian nationalists. Baltic nationalists fought Bolsheviks and each other. Finns engaged in a nasty civil war, and armed groups roamed throughout Eastern and Southern Europe with impunity. Why the explosion of post-November 11th violence? Because the collapse of the German Empire was only one of a number of such disasters to beset the old imperial order. The abdication of the Russian Tsar in 1917 and the decision of the moderate provisional government that replaced him to continue to fight on the Allied side created a power vacuum filled by the Bolsheviks, who took over in late 1917. Vladimir Lenin pulled Russia out of the international war so he could consolidate power in the face of armed opposition from many sides. In 1919, the Allies, led by Winston Churchill, made a half-hearted decision to help overthrow the communist government by injecting troops from Britain, France, Greece, and the United States into the fighting. They were joined by Czech troops already there. Their presence in Russia helped galvanize local support for the Bolsheviks and did nothing to save the disorganized and corrupt white armies from defeat. So, after November 1918, when peace supposedly had broken out on the Russian front, a hot war was fought and lost by an anti-communist coalition that included the United States, leading by 1924 to the recognition of the Soviet Union and the start of a Cold War. The Russian front was on fire after November 1918, but it was not the only front still marked by violence. The collapse of the Austro-Hungarian Empire led to the formation of new states in Austria, Hungary, Czechoslovakia, and Poland. In each, there was the threat of a communist seizure of power. In Hungary, communist Béla Kun did seize power in Budapest, leading to a Red Terror, followed by a White Terror when his short-lived regime was overthrown. In Austria and Czechoslovakia, centrist elements prevailed. In Poland and Ukraine, nationalists attacked Jews, supposedly allied with their enemies. Jews who had been uprooted during the war faced even worse conditions after November 1918. The mixture of anti-Bolshevik, extreme nationalist, and anti-Semitic attitudes created a potent, toxic brew out of which fascist movements emerged in the early 1920s. The Nazis were but one startup party that emerged not during the war, but in its aftermath. The Ottoman front was the site of ongoing and extensive warfare as well. After the occupation of Constantinople, the old regime signed a peace treaty that effectively partitioned Anatolia into colonial holdings under the control of British, French, Italian, and Greek forces, the last of which engaged in brutal treatment of Muslims in western Anatolia. In response to the partition of their country and the maltreatment of Muslims, a new military force arose that overturned both the peace and the old Ottoman order. Mustafa Kemal Atatürk, the hero of Ottoman resistance at Gallipoli in 1915, created a new Turkish army that defeated the invading forces, and in the process brutalized and dispossessed Christian civilians whose ancestors had lived in Anatolia for 1,000 years or more. The end of this period of ethnic cleansing was the burning down in 1922 of the Christian city of Smyrna on the west coast of Anatolia and its reconstruction as the Muslim city of Izmir. A new peace treaty was signed by Atatürk and the Allies, reflecting the new facts on the ground, creating the dangerous precedent of the recognition in international law of ethnic cleansing, euphemistically termed population exchange. Atatürk's victory heralded a new era in the history of Turkey. He modernized the language and urged his fellow Turks to follow the lead of the West. To ensure that he alone held power, he ended the caliphate, which had made the Sultan the symbolic head of Sunni Muslim. To many devout Muslims, the end of the caliphate ushered in a crisis in Islam itself. Who would guard the sacred sites of Islam? Who would uphold the Muslim moral and political order? Into this vacuum, several devout Muslim groups emerged. Among them was the Muslim Brotherhood, founded in Cairo in 1928, and the theological and spiritual inspiration of a number of anti-Western groups, including, eventually, Al-Qaeda. At the same time, the Allied carve-up of the Middle East produced violence on the local level that has also spanned the century, following the peace of 1918. A 1919 revolt in Egypt followed the Allies' refusal to allow local leader Sayyad Zaghloul to present Egypt's demand for independence to the Paris Peace Conference. He was arrested and imprisoned on Malta and later in the Seychelles. When freed, Zaghloul returned to Egypt and continued the struggle for independence, which finally succeeded in 1952. Riots in Palestine in 1919 anticipated the chronic violence attending the conflict between Zionist and Palestinian Arab political groups, which a century later refuses to dissipate. Further afield, the anti-colonial struggle entered a new phase in 1919. In India, hundreds of peaceful demonstrators were massacred in Amritsar, turning those who had supported the British war effort, including Mahatma Gandhi, into a force that over time pushed the British into contemplating what until then had been unthinkable, leaving India to the Indians. That too came after World War II, but was foreshadowed after the 1918 armistice. A different kind of anti-colonial force emerged elsewhere in Asia. On March 1, 1919, Korean leaders, influenced by Woodrow Wilson's 14 points, read out a Declaration of Independence of Korea, then a province of the Japanese Empire. More than 1 million people participated in demonstrations in support of this demand, and when local police could not quell the disorder, the military was called in. Several thousand Koreans were killed. Wilson's message mattered in China, too. The country had been in the midst of a civil war and could not match the naval contribution Japan made to the Allied cause. Consequently, when the Allies met at Versailles to distribute the colonial or quasi-colonial holdings of the old German Empire, including the province of Shandong, south of Beijing, they considered the Japanese case stronger than the Chinese case. At least temporarily, Shandong came under Japanese rule. No matter that 150,000 Chinese laborers were sent from Shandong to dig trenches in France. No matter that Shandong was the birthplace of Confucius. Rewarding Japan for its contribution to Allied victory came first. When the news reached Beijing of this decision on May 4, 1919, students burned down the telegraph office, rioted, and organized a new movement named for the day of the riots, the May 4th Movement, out of which emerged the Chinese Communist Party.